Move today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would encourage our hearts to go deep beyond where we've been with Him before, and that we would see Him come in outstanding ways. There's some incredible things that are said in the book of Jude. And if you haven't read the book of Jude, I encourage you to this week go ahead and dive into Jude. It's a really long book of the Bible. All right, it's got heaps of chapters, just one. And so we're going to head to Jude in a moment, because in the book of Jude, in verse 3, the apostle is speaking to Jude about contending for faith that was first released to the apostles. So even when the apostle is writing to Jude, even then, about 65 AD, they had already replaced some things in their faith that weren't necessary. And so the apostle is speaking to Jude, saying, listen, you need to go back and you need to reclaim what's been taken away from the faith. You need to contend for what God has on your life. I'm glad you're laughing. The Lord's been speaking to me during the week about, you know, the highest level of warfare you can enter into is smiling. Seriously. We got all these Christians running around destroying the works of the devil. Well, it's already done. I believe the highest level of spiritual warfare you can have is laughing with God. The Word of God doesn't say that He chuckles at the plans of man. So you just get caught up with the chuckler. How good is that? Speaking of people, who do you follow? I follow the chuckler. Oh, people are going to get annoyed at me in the street. The religious people don't like what we say, do they? Oh, how you go? Who do you follow? I follow the chuckler. What's his name? Yahweh. Yahweh chuckler. What does he do? He laughs at the plans of man and plans of the enemy. That's who we follow. And last time I checked in my Bible, which was a few minutes ago, it says this, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above every principality, power, and dominion of darkness. So you wrestling against the devil is illegal if you're born again. Because all you have to do is what Kat's saying out this morning, just to enforce the victory of Jesus. So instead of going, oh, listen, this week we've had our kids, it's been beautiful. Every morning, we've just gone through every holy day. So from last Sunday, from Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, through to today and then on tomorrow, then we get to go on more because Pentecost is coming up, my favourite day of the whole year. Isn't it awesome that the church would celebrate Pentecost again when the Spirit of God came? We celebrate Easter and we celebrate Christmas, but I reckon we need to get up and celebrate Pentecost as a remembrance of when the Spirit of God came so we could be equipped with His kingdom to do His stuff on the earth. We've been reflecting on this week, but I really feel I want to pray for you also later that warfare would start to become fun. It's supposed to be fun. Oh, the devil, he's got me down in the... No. You're a son or a daughter and you're seated high. You know it says that the Lord Jesus Christ right now in heaven, He has His heels on the enemy who's under His feet. And then He said something more ridiculous. He said that Phil and Heather Grimmer, who follow Christ, have their feet on the same stool. That's a nice stool to have your foot on. I like leather seats. How good are leather seats? Especially if you have kids. You have a leather seat, what do you do? Just wipe it. It's so good. Material. Why would you put material in your house with four kids? But Christ is sitting on a throne, and you're sitting next to Him. That's the reality of the Bible. We don't hear it preached much that Christ is on a throne, you're next to Him. And His feet are on a throne, and He's pushing down on top of the enemy. Squeeze. Amen. Spiritual warfare is really difficult if our mindset is that we're going to lose. Or spiritual warfare is really hard to contemplate if we think we could lose. But the reality is, if you die, it's gain. And if you live, it's Christ. Yeah. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah. So our warfare is not trying to beat up the devil. Our greatest warfare is finding our position in Christ. Yeah. It's knowing who we are. Yep. And as I know who I am, everything comes out of that. So when sickness comes near me, then we can bind that sickness. When tragedy comes around, we can bind that tragedy. We've been praying for a little girl called Gracie who actually went to be with the Lord. And Michael shared this Elder Michael shared this word with us the other day, that her parents, so what day did she pass to glory?
She might be had men's, so Wednesday, about 6 o'clock.
Yeah. 6 o'clock Wednesday, she goes to glory. She had viral meningitis. That's a devil I want to see destroyed, amen. Who doesn't want to see that destroyed? Mm-hmm. Especially when it goes in the brain and they go, oh, it's terrible, painful. And then her parents are at a prayer meeting, and Michael and Esther left at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the parents were still praising him. Still praising the one. And I was driving to our community the other night, and I'm driving down, and I have this encounter with the Lord, and he reminds me that although it's terrible that this girl has died, it's tragic, she's now in the great cloud of witnesses. And she gets to champion her own parents on in Christ. Because it says the cloud of witnesses are what? They're championing you on so you can fulfill all things that you have in Christ. Amen? So I want to pray for you that spiritual warfare, I will be praying for you, becomes more about a revelation of where you sit rather than who you fight. You can just take that. Amen? Let's go to chapter 1. I'm so messed up. But before we do that, I'm just going to keep stopping, hey? Like, I was thinking to myself, are we as close to Jesus as Simeon was? Are we as close as this man? Or some people call him Simon. Like, but are we as close? Imagine being picked as the man to carry Christ's cross with him. Oh. You know, in Isaiah it says this, it says, listen, an angel came from the throne and was looking for someone to send on a mission. And Isaiah says, pick me. And the angel comes, and what does he do? He brings the hot coal from the ceiling. Imagine being the one picked to carry the cross with Jesus. This guy, he would have, I imagine in my own heart, he would have had this aroma on him of Jesus. He would have had sinew and cartilage and muscle and tissue. He would have had blood and sweat, and all of Christ's fluids that came out of him were on this man. And I believe this is a picture of when Jesus said to us, pick up your cross. Because who was really carrying this cross? It wasn't that man, it was Christ. I believe it was a prophetic picture about when we carry the cross, we look so much like him. I believe some people who couldn't see Christ's crown may have thought that this man was Jesus himself. Carrying the cross. We see this man and we hear this. And it's beautiful in the Bible. It's only a real snippet of the story. It's this tiny little bit. And yeah, this guy was chosen to carry the... Imagine being that. Imagine in the morning, waking up, you got your coffee, whatever you drink, and you sit, oh yeah, I'm going to have a good day today. And then you get told you're carrying the cross of Christ. It doesn't even say he was a believer. He just got randomly picked by God to carry the cross. How many of us can testify in this room that we chose to follow Jesus first? None of us. He chose us at the exact time for us to be born again. Amen? I love the fact that you tell people, how did you get saved? A guy asked me the stupid question, but he goes, how did you meet Jesus? I said, well, I said, I wasn't looking for God. I hated God and he found me. That destroys all the theology that you've got to be seeking him to find you. Right? Because God has got an ordained plan for every single person on earth. Amen. Melchell wrote a beautiful scripture. John 3:16-17. That's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believed in him may have eternal life. Amen. That word world doesn't have anything to do with a person. It says, you can translate this. For God so loved the cosmos. He loved everything. He loved white ants. We're in our pre-service prayer meeting this morning, and the Lord says to me, how good are white ants? I said, what? Like they just, and he goes, they remind you that nothing can go to the next life. And I was like, yeah, that's right. They do. I can take none of my house to my next life. I was like, God, you're good. Like that, we find those things destructive, but they're actually... They can be a shadow on a picture, amen? A shadow on a picture. All right, we're going to go into what I want to go into now. Oh, man, praise God. I think this is another song that Kath was going to do. How good's worship, hey? Oh. In the New Testament, we call this apostolic renewal. Don't get caught up in words. This is what they call it. So we call it apostolic. So what we've been about, sanctuary, 5 years old and 4 weeks. 5 weeks and 5 years and 4 weeks we're old. We're all about apostolic renewal. We're about seeing the things that we need to see reestablished back into the church. And so sometimes the things that we say are not controversial. They're fully biblical, but we haven't heard them for a while, so we need to go away and think about them. The Bible says to do what with the Word of God? To meditate on it, yeah? Yeah, meditate. You mentioned you say, oh yeah, how are you going? I've just been meditating with Jesus. Like, oh, brother, you need to get saved. You go to devil. But the word meditation is used more in the Bible than every other holy book combined. Isn't that powerful? Meditation, meditating upon the Word of God. And so we're going to look at this today. I love gold at the moment. So the unction of the Spirit. So what we need to reestablish is the unction of the Spirit. And I want to ask the Holy Spirit to do something for you in the next week, in the next 2 weeks, in the next month, in the next year. I want Him to show you when He's moving on you, and you would be so unctioned by Him that you'd be so present to stop and go, yeah, okay, I'm going to stay in this moment. I'm just going to be with you for now. You might be at work and it's a bit tricky. I love my toilet at work. So good. Just go in there, close the door. Oh, Jesus. Because it's a secular workplace. Our contracts say you can't actually, you know, you've got to be secular with what you say, but not in the bathroom. In that 2 meter by 2 meter cubicle, I can be whoever I want in Christ. And I can bring everything into that place. And I love people going in there after me. See them come out. One person said, oh, I just feel so light. Is that because you, or is that, I don't know, I'm just going to leave that one there, right? But the unction of the Spirit. So Jude 1 says this, beloved, while eagerly preparing to write to you about the salvation we share, I find it necessary to write and appeal to you to contend for the faith that was first entrusted to the saints. The apostle is speaking to Jude saying, listen, Paul the apostle is saying, listen, you need to actually contend again now. You can contend for this faith. That word contend, I love this, it means position yourself to enter into something. It means with others. Because guess what? Church is not supposed to be done alone. I heard one guy the other day say to me this, he goes, I don't go to church anymore. I said, why not? He goes, I've got an online church. I said, oh yeah, cool. I said, oh, I love people. He goes, I don't need fellowship anymore. I just go online. I said, well, yeah, but I said, what about meeting with people? Don't forsake the meeting. I don't read that scripture, he says. Whoa! All right. It means to be leadership to the earth, and it means to endeavor with strenuous zeal. That would have meant to contend. Some strenuous zeal. Amen? Faith is the inheritance that a follower of Christ, Jesus, has in Christ. That's what faith is. It's the inheritance you have. Remember that. Remember that it's an inheritance that you have. And I'll put all this up tonight. Once, so at a time, released forever. One time for all together at once, individually and collectively. So when Jesus dies on the cross and is resurrected, He dies for all of us individually, but then He dies for all of us collectively. Because His idea of church was not a building with people standing up and sitting down. His idea of church is so much higher. It's a kingdom family. It's a family of the kingdom who operates by linking arms and sharing with one another so that His kingdom can come onto the earth. I'm going to say some things today that might be a little bit nervous for myself, but that's okay because I feel like God's given this for us to actually do. There's an incredible thing happening in the book of Jude as well. Jude is actually commanded by Paul. It's a military sense. He's saying, listen, you contend for this now. Because he wants a pure and holy church. I love the Apostle Paul because what he does this. He believes Jesus returning the next day, every day. If you read his epistles, he's speaking like he's expecting Christ to return the very next day or the very next hour. And yet he's still planning. And so we need as well to be expecting that Jesus is going to return. But I want to bring a challenge to theology. Is that okay? Yes? Oh, thank you, Emma. Permission granted. One person, that's enough. When the Bible says, and he will appear like he left, we know this scripture?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the start of the book of Acts, but also in the end of the Gospels, it's mentioned that Jesus is going to go away, but he will appear the same as when he went away, which is in the Spirit. I want to challenge your theology. That word appear doesn't mean in the future. That word appear means to go from being hidden to be revealed. So what does that mean? It means this is that when... I'll say it like this. Before the resurrection, Jesus could be in one place at one time on the earth. Correct? And after the resurrection, he could be in all places at once. Because he's resurrected, right? And so when the Bible speaks about him appearing again, it means that he just becomes revealed again.
Yeah.
So when someone meets Jesus for the first time, does Jesus appear?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. He appears again. But he's not appearing to die again, is he? He's appearing to make himself known, right? So we need to actually understand the word appear is not this thing that's going to happen when he comes back. When he comes back, it doesn't say he's going to appear. It says everyone will be able to see him. Correct?
Yeah.
It's not the word appear.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the Bible saying that Jesus is going to appear again, he's always appearing.
Yeah.
What about when he walks through the wall? Oh, there I am, guys. We saw it in the video with the kids, right? He just appears and they're like, Jesus! Right? Think about when Peter is locked up in jail. He knocks on the door and someone opens the door and they say, oh, that must be just Peter's ghost. Right? That's what they say. Oh, that's just Peter's spirit. Because they, in the New Testament church, they were used to Jesus appearing all the time. If you look at the proof, historically, Jesus was appearing all the time. Think about when he appeared in the street in Jerusalem. Like he just appeared. And many proofs. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God for 40 days. I love the fact that Jesus didn't talk to them about the church for 40 days. He spoke about the kingdom of God for 40 days. And so Jesus is wanting us to reclaim the fact that we believe that he's going to appear at any moment. I'll tell you a funny story. Do you like funny stories? It was pretty funny to me. About 3 months ago, I'm walking at night time in the rain. You should try that once in the dark. It's beautiful. You're just walking. And I had a short sleeve t-shirt on. You'll know what I said this in a minute. And so I'm walking other side of the mountain, and this guy's walking past me. And I'm saying, Lord, okay, what's the word of the Lord? I'm getting pumped up in my spiritual weaponry. And the Lord just gives this blessing. I said, okay. So, go ahead, go here, good things. I bless you. Yep, I bless you too. Oh, cool. I'll take that blessing. And off I went. And I said to the Lord afterwards, Lord, if you give me an opportunity to speak to this man. And I just left it like that. And then a couple of Mondays ago, I ride my bike into the bush, about 14 kilometres into the bush. And I never see anybody on purpose because it's my time with the Lord. Right? I love it, eh? And I ride down to this massive lake. And here's the same guy sitting on a rock in the middle of the bush. I thought, oh, wow, okay. So I have my full face helmet on. So I ride up to him. He's peeking, thinking this tattooed, bikey wannabe is going to push him into the lake and kill him. Right? And so I get off my bike and I take off my helmet and he's like, oh, what is this? I said, g'day, how are you? How you going? How's things? He's thinking, this Ivan Milat's twin. What's going on here? And so I start speaking to him, and he goes, I said, oh, look at those swallows. There was like 100 swallows. I'm thinking, oh, whoa, that's strange. Just swallowing around. I don't know if that's what they do. And anyway, he looks at me and he goes, I said, yeah, I know you. He goes, do you? I said, no, I walked past you 3 months ago one night when it was raining. When you were walking this way, you had a blue jacket on, and I was walking this way, I had a t-shirt on. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, wow. He goes, will you walk with me? I said, where to? He said, like, back up here. And then he goes to me this, he says, I feel a great synchronicity between you and me. I thought, oh, okay. That's a bit weird, but okay. So I start walking, and he goes to me, isn't God omnipresent? And yeah, he is. I said, I follow Jesus. He goes, what? What? He goes, and then he asked me the dumbest question. How do you meet Jesus? I was like, yes, Lord. He said, well, I didn't meet him in a church. I wasn't praying. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't seeking his face. I just met Jesus himself. Oh, you had a vision? Yes. Oh, you met him physically or spiritually? Spiritually. Oh, I know about that. He then says to me, we start talking. He's looking deep in my eyes. Like he's just walking like this. He's walking sideways like this. Okay. We walked for an hour and 20 minutes together. The kingdom of God was just moving around us, right? He said, if we don't make it to the top of this hill, I'm really glad that I met you. I thought, what do you know that I don't? Are you a prophet? I'm so glad I made it to the top of the hill, I met. But halfway up, he stopped me. And I thought, oh, great. I'm just going to have faith here, Lord, because I'm yours. And he said to me, you know what I believe? I said, what do you believe? And he had some weird beliefs, right? But he said, I believe when Jesus was resurrected, I thought, well, that's a good belief to have. He goes, I believe he restored the garden. And I was like, whoa. Because what we've been learning about in our community here is the restoration of the garden comes through the kingdom of God. And I was just so blessed. Anyway, he gives me his phone number. He wants to catch up with me. He's like my new best mate. Really cool. And so anyway, I get home. He writes me a message. Did you get home okay? What does this guy know? And then he goes, I just felt to send you this. He sends me a poem from a Welsh theologian, not knowing that I've been studying the Welsh move of God for the last 6 months. I thought, oh, so good. I can't wait to see this man again. Why do I share the story? Because the unction of the Spirit in me many years ago would have said, right on. I would have said, this is what I said to him. I would have said, bless you, brother. Jesus is King. And I would have ridden on. But when he asked me to walk with him, I felt the Holy Spirit say, walk. I'm here going for a ride. I've got this good hill coming up. And so I walk with this man. I want to encourage us that when the unction of the Spirit comes, if we follow the unctioning of the Spirit, it'll lead to treasure being released. Most importantly for other people, but we'll get blessed as well. Sometimes we just can't see it. We just can't see it sometimes. Why do I talk about contending for? Well, we've been talking about contending for 5 years now. Because we believe wholeheartedly that the Blue Mountains is going to be known for one son, not three sisters. That's not a joke to me. I'm seeing already people driving to the mountains to meet him, not to meet them. And in my, I don't say it as a cliche. I don't say it like that. I say it as a thing where I actually believe that Jesus Christ is going to travel. He's going to bring people to the Blue Mountains to meet him, not to see three sisters. We have 3.5 to 3.7 million people a year come to see three rocks. What about if they came to see one son? What if a company of people dared enough to believe that God could reclaim this region wholeheartedly for him? What if a group of people believed wholeheartedly that Jesus had paid it all and everything that we needed we have inside ourselves? Because he lives in us. Amen. Amen. That from the plains to the plains, he would rule and he would reign. Amen. It's a good thing to think about. Amen. And so we go from the unction of the Spirit to the mystery of the Spirit. Aren't we glad we haven't got all the answers? Yeah. And aren't we glad when we read the Bible, Jesus gave more questions than answers? You read that, eh? Hitler asking, what does this mean? He goes, what does that mean? I'm like, oh. And then I love how he spoke. He himself said this, I use parables so I explain a story because people who aren't born again can't understand the Spirit. But I'm going to talk about some things today. When the New Testament uses the word mystery, it's not talking about what we commonly refer to in our modern language. Something that hasn't been solved or is a puzzle, right? Biblical New Testament mystery means hidden from the common gaze. Oh, come on. That which is found only in deep and intimate relationship. Mystery doesn't mean it's not going to be solved. Mystery means God has hidden things for his people to find, but they are found through deep and intimate relationship. Deep and intimate relationship. We need to reclaim the mysteries of God, amen. I want to say something very, very clear to everyone right now. There are spiritual ways and spiritual understanding reserved for you, not for leadership who are at the top of the Christian mountain, for you, for us, in the depths of Christ, nowhere else. Has to be in Christ, amen. Everyone has access. Everyone has the invitation through Christ Jesus. MRI has access at 3 years old. See, at the other day, she's praying. She says, Jesus is leading us and following us. Oh, I said, I'm done. That's enough. I'm off. Why is it enough? Because she had a revelation that he does lead us, but he also follows us. I can prove it to you. Isaiah 58:8 says, the Lord is my rear guard. That's good. She hasn't read Isaiah 58:8. Where's she getting that from? I'll tell you a story. I don't know if the guy's still sitting here. I can't see it at the moment. So Kath's driving, and MRI's in the back, and all of a sudden she starts saying, James Kenny, James Kenny, James Kenny. Well, what the random is this? Anyway, the Spirit of God says, ring James Kenny. And so Kath rings James, our brother James, who is such a wonderful brother to us, and he'd been going through a terrible trial. And the Spirit of God speak to a three-year-old. And if you have the unction of the Spirit, you'll understand the mystery of the Spirit, and you'll apply it. Right? What we've done in Australia in church, we said, listen, please don't get into those spiritual things, because we just want a clean-cut Christianity, 45-minute service, and you're out. Right? If you want to leave after 45 minutes, it's fine. But what we're reclaiming is the ability to slow down, the ability to rest in God, and the ability to allow him to do what he wants in his own time frame. I never ever want to force the Lord by restricting something if we don't have to. Amen. That's a little SharePoint for you guys in the mystery of the Spirit. There's this beautiful mystery in the Spirit. How amazing is it that every single person in this room right now has a completely different plan that God's put on their heart? Yet he pulls us all together into koinonia, or family, so we can war and contend for each other. No one in this room can fulfill the same thing that Zeke can. No one at all. I'm going to speak about Zeke in a couple of minutes, just preparing him so he can hear himself in a minute. Right? But I love the fact that a church, a kingdom family, what a kingdom family wants is the best for its kids. Yeah? If you're a mum and dad, or you're going to be one day, what you love is the best for your kids. It doesn't mean making them spoiled brats, by the way. It means contending what's on their life. So when we say contending, we're saying, listen, you guys are all going to have a different variety of, and you're going to have a different way of doing things, and we love that. The church has been broken, and the Spirit of God has been removed because people want things to be the same. Oh, you don't worship like I do, so you can't. Or you don't preach like I do, so you can't. Or women can't preach because the Bible's... go and read the Bible first before you say any stupid comments like that, right? The reality is this, is that everyone in here is diverse. And everyone in here has value that makes the family better. Everyone can contribute, amen? There's no junior Holy Ghost. Why is Jesus called the son of David, the grandson of David? I'll leave that with you just to go on a treasure hunt. Why is Jesus called the son of David, not the grandson of David? Or the great-grandson of David? Why is he called the son? I'll just leave that with you to... You can go on a little jumping around with rabbits and whatever else you do. A little rabbit trail with God. How good are rabbit trails with God? Even the ones that end up where you think they should. They're the best ones, hey? Oh, yes, Lord. We're going to get into this. If you want to go to John chapter 3, Because I want to talk to you about being pneumatic. You think this guy's a weirdo. That's okay. But John 3 says this. It says, the wind blows where it chooses. And you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We need to be wind-driven people. Yeah, amen. We want to be Spirit-breathed, wind-driven people. Cultivating ancient ways is all about becoming deeply involved and joined in what we call being pneumatic. I want to challenge you to think about this. Think about changing a tire with a normal tire wrench, right? How long is it going to take you?
5 minutes.
Yeah? How much frustration will it give you?
I love to use my feet as well.
Amen. But if you were given a pneumatic drill, less than 20 seconds. Have you seen those V8 supercar guys at Bathurst? When they're changing a tire? I don't like car racing. I think it's pointless, but that's up to you. Like, if you love it, bless you, right? But when I see it, and what about the noise? You're like, wow. That's what we are in Christ, like that. But the church has taught you, and what you've got to do, you've got to strain. And you've got to use all your muscle and your might. You know that none of your effort counts for anything in Christ? It's already done. It's already done, isn't it? But that hurts us, because we think that our effort should count for something. Now, yes, we have to live godly, and we have to do those things, and that's beautiful. But the reality is that when you're living as a born-again Christian, it's already done. You are partakers in a promise that was given a long time ago. When Adam Ruse goes for coffee, and he sits down at the coffee table, he doesn't have to get a t-shirt or a banner saying, come to me if you want to know Jesus, right? Because before he's gone there, the Spirit of God's already prayed through him for the whole place. I know him, so I can say that, right? And as he sits down, he just goes about his business, which is his Father's business. And because he's being pneumatic, which means Spirit-led and Spirit-driven and Spirit-flowing, he can be assured 100% of the time that he's in God's will. Sometimes the only Bible someone's going to read is you. That's the reality sometimes. Sometimes the only Bible that people are going to read is us. And I'll make a statement, but I'll only make it very short because I don't want to spend any time on this. So a few weeks ago, a young guy puts an Instagram post up and Australia goes mental. Then the senior pastor of the biggest church in Australia comes against him. And so the world's looking, going, don't you guys both believe the same God? Right? The Lord takes me to the book of Thessalonians in chapter 1, and it says this, that we are to live a quiet life and leave everyone else's affairs alone. We worry about what the Lord's calling us to do, amen? Yeah. I think there's a higher calling than telling people what's wrong and what's right. I believe that higher calling is looking into his face. And when you look into his face, yeah, like we don't walk with judgment in us, we walk with love, amen?
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at his face, if I come out of that realm, if he's looking at his face, and I go down to the shops, I can trust that if I'm in his will, whoever I'm going to meet is going to be blessed by him. Not by me. Not by me, by him, amen? And I've heard Christians all the last 2 weeks saying, what's your opinion? I have no opinion on what was said and what wasn't said. I have Christ. Because there's a high calling, and that's to be in Christ. To be hidden in him. Amen? And whether that man is a good man or I don't know his heart. But all I can say is that we need to be careful about how we actually appropriate our faith. Because the world is watching.
Yeah.
And the devil loves confusion.
Yeah.
We need to be a people of clarity. Amen? The mystery of the Spirit. The clarity of the Spirit. If you look at this story, our role is not to be a big ministry or to build individual ministries in each person, but it is intentionally to contend for each of you that you have such a glorious personal life and devotion to Jesus that you would look more and more like Him every single day. That's our calling here. It's not to build something that's big on the outside and looks flashy and that. It's to build you up in the most holy faith so you can be at a level of maturity that all you are doing is being in Christ all the time. Right? He said like this to me. We are being called to the renewal of something way bigger than church. We are being called to renew what's called a kingdom family. The very same in which they had in the book of Acts. Not focused on being popular or relevant, but on being hidden in Christ. Our pursuit of hiddenness in Him will take away all our ambitions, hopes and plans of being wanted, and it will restore to us our true identity as sons and daughters. I'll read that again. Not focused on being popular or relevant, but on being hidden in Christ. Our pursuit of hiddenness in Him will take away all of our ambitions, hopes and plans of being wanted, and will restore to us our true identity as sons and daughters. In the next couple of minutes, you need to hear my heart. I'm not going to be speaking against anybody at all. Okay, but I need to address some things in our culture that are stopping, I believe, the mystery and the flow of the Spirit. If our goal as church is to have heaps of people, if that's all we're after, we're not looking at Him. If our goal in church is to have a ministry where everyone knows David Shooter's name, that's not what Jesus wants. If everyone knows His name after He's pursued, then that's up to the Lord, not up to Him. But right now we live in a Christian culture where every third person has 77 videos of what the Lord has said. And I believe a lot of what it says is actually not what the Lord says, what they think. There's a big difference between opinion and the word of the Lord. Right? There's a big difference, I think God's saying this. Well, if God's saying that, then you need to say it as God's saying that. We need to have some conviction behind our words, amen. And I feel like what happens in Australia especially is that we get so involved in competing with the church down the road that we end up being nothing like who He called us to be. We get so caught up with what Pastor Jimmy and Pastoress Sally's doing. Maybe they're real people, I don't know. But we get caught up with something like that we actually lose our focus on Him. And so when you are drawn away from competition and when you are drawn away from comparison, you actually start to find who you really are in Christ. And instead of saying, oh, well, I wish we were as big as that thing, or I wish I had as many things, you start to go, I'm so accepted in Christ that none of that stuff out there is going to rattle who I am. Because I've seen Him and He loves me. That's our continual revelation. And so our heart is not that we would be the best or the biggest. Our heart is that we would follow Him. And whatever comes out of that place and that space, we were so excited about. But I will not compete. And this house will not compete. My wife, who's amazing, had an incredible word for me. When you're in church leadership, you have a person who comes along called Percy. Percy, persecution. Right? And people say, oh, that... I have like a record of what people are saying about me. I don't care. Because I'm not here to defend myself. I'm here to follow Him. And if they can't come to me and speak to me one-on-one, face-to-face... then I'm just going to keep pursuing Christ. Does it hurt what they say? Not really anymore. When I was immature in Christ, 100%. Oh no, that church is saying this about me. But you know, it's a high calling. And that is this. I look at you, and you are so beautiful. Jesus. And whatever they, you know, the Bible says clearly, Jesus said this, when Zeke is persecuted. Not, okay, Zeke, if you do these three things, when he's persecuted, count it as what? Joy. Joy. Amen. Joy. So I want to encourage you is that when you walk through your Christian life and there's persecution come, remember that Jesus said to count it as joy. Because you are, if we're talking the world's terms, you're an upward trend. You are trending upwards all the time. Because you're becoming more like him every day.
Amen.
And less like the father of lies.
Amen.
Amen? I want to talk about this pneumatic word for a minute. What does it mean to have pneumatokos? What does it mean to have that word living in you? It means this, in the context of the kingdom, it means this. Zeke Allen has a call in his life. Does anyone agree with me?
Yes.
Amen. He's going to be leading many, many ministries and he's going to be doing many, many things in sanctuary in the years to come. If all I looked at was his value on the earth right now, I would release him into leadership, right? If that's all I looked at. But the Lord and his wisdom is greater for Zeke. And I've spoken this to him already, so he knows what he knows. When he hears this, he'll know, okay. I don't believe it's fair to release a young man with gifting, calling and power on his life too early. I believe that it is our, as a family, it is our role to build him up in the most holy faith so he becomes so mature in Christ that when we do release him into his next part of his divine destiny, he will never stumble and fall because he hasn't had a wandering season. I believe that as a spiritual son of mine, he has the ability in Christ to do all things right now. But the Lord hasn't called him yet. The Lord is calling him to his depths and to the wilderness and to his heart. Because what he's going to do for Christ needs a foundation so strong that when it gets rattled, he says, "You are king." And if you release someone too quickly into the ministry, and how do I know this? Because I was released too quickly into the ministry with zero character and incredible gifting. Someone saw, I put my hand on cancer and it left the body. And people said two things. God is with him or he's the son of the devil. Right? And so they said, oh, let's go. So I went and preached here. Hundreds of churches. Right? Hundreds of churches. I went to a church once in the Blue Mountains. I won't tell you which one. And the pastor got healed in the service and they never invited me back. Right? That'll do things to you, but without character, you're defeated. And so my role here is to build him up in the most holy faith and join him to men and women in this kingdom family who are going to build him up in the most holy faith. And then when the Lord says go, I'm not going to hold him back. I'm going to shoot him out as fast as I can. But until the Lord says go, we don't really go. Just because someone's got gifting and calling and this and that in their life doesn't mean they're positioned and ready to be shot out into the earth for ministry. Do we agree?
Yes.
Do you agree? Amen. Oh, he's a good son, this one. He's good. You know, if you talk to Zeke, you speak to him, right? I'm using an example today. My relationship with him is not about how he's doing in his sin management or his sin life at all. He can testify, never asked him. There's a high calling. How are you doing with Christ and how are you doing in relationship with him? All I do is encourage him in the spirit. That's it. Nothing else. I don't need to do anything else. Why? I don't have to look at his bad stuff. I have to look at what the Lord has put treasure in him, and it's our role as a family to call the treasure out. If we look like the religious church, we will be saying, your sin stinks. Your sin stinks. Your sin stinks. You can't do anything until your sin's ready. Well, that's not what Christ says. He wants us to call treasure out, amen? We are treasure hunters and treasure seekers. Isn't that good? We believe that together as a family? I pray for you that your life would look like a pneumatic drill. When you live in the Spirit, it's so good, hey? Something just happened, you're like, wow, that happened. Oh, that was so good. It was just so good. In the wilderness, things happen, amen? The wilderness is not a bad place to go. The quickest way to get somewhere in the kingdom of God is to stop. You think, what, this guy's, he's had some of those mushrooms in the mountains. No, I haven't. Right? At all.
The quickest way to go somewhere in the kingdom is to stop. The kingdom of God doesn't move, and Jesus said this very carefully, it doesn't move between time and miles. It doesn't move between time and kilometers. It doesn't move like the kingdom of God moves by ebbing and flowing with the Spirit. If I said to Phil, tell me where the winds come from, he might be able to give me a scientific definition of where the winds come from, if he's that inclined. But normally, he wouldn't be able to tell me where the wind came from. He wouldn't also be able to pinpoint where it's going, correct? Jesus said this, so is one who is born of the Spirit. Does that mean that people who are born of the Spirit are like all over the place and like, ooh? Not at all. It's talking about this. The people who are born of the Spirit are so sensitive to what the Spirit is doing that they will go wherever he's calling them to go. I've shared before here many years ago that St. Patrick, who was an apostle in Ireland, he coined this phrase, just going to go on a wild goose chase. You heard that phrase in Australia? Yeah. Going to go on a wild goose chase, mate. Yeah. Right? That actual word is it's a biblical meaning. It means in Ireland at that time, the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Ghost, was a goose, not a dove. And so when Patrick would say, I'm going to go on a wild goose chase, he was following the Spirit. Following the Spirit of God. What do our lives look like as a family if we just follow the Spirit of God? Going to look different. And it's going to take a bit of, I suppose, self-control to not believe that everything that's happening is, oh, we've got to go. Listen, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this, is that when we're born again and we flow with the Spirit of God, there's going to be times where we go and do stuff, we think, well, that's a bit strange. But we've got to trust Him that He's calling us to go that way. And we also have to champion each other to do that. And it's okay not to look the same. It's okay to do things the same. And it's okay not to pray the same. Things like that. Yeah. Variety is the spice of the kingdom, I believe. Yeah. They say it's the spice of life. It's the spice of the kingdom. Yeah. The variety that we have in the church is so beautiful. And I want to come to a couple of things. Adam Wilk shared this with me a few months ago. I love it. Kingdom patience is bridal readiness. You ever felt like, I just want to go and do that, God. I'm going to go on, and then, and you just feel restrained, right? Paul said it like this. I feel restrained by the Holy Spirit to enter that town in the book of Acts. The Spirit of God was with Paul, and as he went to go into that town, the Spirit of God restrained him from going in there. Because he was led by the Spirit, see? When you're led by the Spirit, when you're about to do something, the Spirit goes, no, don't do that. Oh, okay. No worries at all. I won't do that. Go in here. I won't do that. I want to encourage us to have that bridal readiness. To have that bridal readiness. What does a bridle mean? It's a picture on a horse where a horse is ready to go, but it's being held back for a reason. More than anything, I pray for us this morning that we would hear the voice of God in such a way where we would be able to say yes and we'd be able to say no. I pray for you that you would recognize that a closed door is as beautiful as an open door in God. That when He closes the door, maybe it's a relationship you thought was going to be forever, and He closes the door. Maybe it's a ministry that you thought you were going to be amazing at and you weren't, and He closes the door. I pray for us not to get upset in that, but we would praise Him and say, thank you for the closed door, and I'm going to treat that as good as I feel when I actually have an open door in you. Because if you think about it, a closed door is such a beautiful thing because it's somewhere that where you shouldn't have gone or shouldn't have done. And that's good. That's good for us in our spirit. It's good for us in our life to live like that. Amen? Oh, it's good. And the last thing we're going to talk about today is treasure in the Spirit. So we've had the unction of the Spirit, restoring that. Restoring the mystery of the Spirit into the church. And also restoring the treasure of the Spirit. You hear when I pray, I always pray this prayer for all the churches that we wouldn't use the Holy Spirit like some gimmick or some trick we can bring out when things aren't going very well. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And so we are not here to accomplish goals. We are here to see this region redeemed and become famous for the one Son. I see the days, and they are already here, where people will travel up here for the name of Jesus. We see a renewal of a far greater world heritage area, one that transcends earth, sky, time and space. We're called to something bigger, amen? And that bigness is not actually being huge, although that might happen as a result. Our bigness is hidden in Christ, is being hidden in Him, being hidden in Him. You know, the most significant things that are happening across the earth right now are not happening in the conference model anymore of church. The most significant things happening across the earth, as I read it, are this. Are people restoring kingdom families to the earth. If you ever go and you research every move of God, so if you go and look at the Hebride Islands in Scotland, or you look at the Welsh move, or you look at Adelaide in 1976, where a great man, Geoffrey Bingham, led an incredible revival. An Anglican minister got born again and led a huge revival. I spoke to him before he died. He prayed for me through the phone, electricity. It was amazing. I'll tell you the story later. Or if you look at moves of God, the Toronto blessing, whatever's happened, it hasn't started with a huge thing. It started with a kingdom family understanding who they are in Christ and asking the Holy Spirit one thing. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and change my heart. Come and change his heart, her heart, their heart. And as they prayed that prayer, he responded to their prayer. The treasure of the Spirit is worth so much. Jesus said it like this. A man found a piece of treasure in a field, and in his joy, he goes and sells everything to go and buy the field. What have we done in the church, especially in Australia? We found a piece of gold. We're like, awesome, see ya. I've got a piece of gold. But it's only part of the kingdom. Right? It's only part of what God has for us. Amen? And we have a lot of churches right now that have got part of what God is, but not, they haven't actually asked Him for all of who He is. Amen? So that church has got a really heavy anointing for healing. Yeah, that's great, but healing's not everything. Well, that church has got a really heavy anointing to be prophetic. Well, prophecy is not everything. That church there, they serve the poor so well, but serving the poor by itself is not what God wanted. He's calling the kingdom family, and it's happening all across the earth right now, to restore things, and we can see the fullness of God dwell in our midst. To see the fullness of Jesus dwell in our midst. That we would help the poor, and prophesy, and heal the sick, and raise the dead, and cast out demons, and teach the Bible how it's supposed to be taught. That we would go from what I call a one-fold church in Australia to a five-fold church. That Ephesians 4 would be restored in our very lifetime. You think, I'm believing that it's going to happen. That we're going to see the restoration of Ephesians 4 leadership in the body of Christ in our lifetime. That's what I want. That's what I'm after. That when someone says to someone, oh, this person's a prophet, you don't go, prophets are different. Or someone says, an apostle, they say, what the heck is that? Oh, you're one of the 12, you think you're a 12 apostle? What? That's a bit strange. When someone says pastor, they vomit the word after. Or when someone says teacher, they go, you're going to teach me about things of the kingdom. Yes, they are going to teach you things about the kingdom. Or an evangelist, they're just weird. They just want everyone to follow Jesus. Like, we need to restore these beautiful ministries back into the church so we can be fully functioning, amen? Fully functioning.
You didn't think I was going to talk about that, did you? You were like, he's not talking about the fivefold, but I always do. Amen.
Always bring it back, amen. Always bring it back. And so, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters are establishing the kingdom culture everywhere. I'll say it again. Fathers and mothers, daughters and sons are establishing